I'd like to welcome everyone out this morning for the November the 30th regular session of the Commissioner's Court. We're going to start with a minute or two of silence and then we'll stand for our pledges.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item one on the agenda this morning is public comment. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the court? We'll move on to item two, which is to consider and take action on approval of A, the minutes of the November 16th meetings.
Motion to approve.
Second. Members of the court, I'd like to compliment the county clerk's office for providing us with these minutes that we've been asked for quite some time. But they were there. I asked for them 24 hours before the meeting. Her office had them several days before the meeting. So once again, my compliments to the county clerk's office.
Is it your second? Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Campbell to approve the minutes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item B is the payroll. Payroll changes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Campbell, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson to approve payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
The payroll changes are approved. Item C is the payroll.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Campbell to approve the payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll is approved. There are actually two. There were two different minutes for that meeting because one was there was a regular meeting and then there was the
canvas. In the canvas.
So that's why there's two of those. Item D are the budget amendments.
Judge.
Yes.
I do want to clarify the minutes that there was two. So it's on the record that we approve the minutes for both of those.
Well, I think once they're, I read it as meetings, and
okay.
I think once both of those are put in the record, it'll be all right. Any questions on budget amendments?
I'd just like to note on the Commissioner's Court, Mr. Smith, I'm sorry, is this our final report for 09?
I'd like to make these budget amendments. It should be, yes.
Okay.
Unless I missed a couple.
That in the office supply line item that we did have an over amount of $126.73, is that correct?
I'm not quite sure where you're looking at, on what page.
The second page in the county court. And then under there, you've got Commissioner's Court and office supplies. We've got $126.73. Is this being transferred out to the county,
yeah,
county court? That's where we could have bought additional office supplies.
That's right.
Had paid for office supplies that were bought out during the year.
That's right.
Move to approve budget amendment.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Budget amendments are approved. Item E are the accounts payable.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson to approve accounts payable. Those in favor?
Aye.
Accounts payable are approved. Item F is to accept for recording various Commissioner Court documents, including but not limited to the following: auditor's reports, treasurer's reports, state and county tax summary, bonds, oaths, deputations, and other certificates.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Campbell, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to record those documents. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those documents are recorded. Item G are the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item three is to hear from John Bolster concerning collection of delinquent taxes in the county.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to take this opportunity first, I guess, to apologize. It's been a couple of years since we made this report, and certainly it's my intention to make this report every year to the court if the court desires to hear it. I know that Mike Smith brought this to my attention, and I'm happy to be here to make this report to y'all. First thing, the numbers I'm going to quote to you today are just going to be the county collection numbers. As you know, you have a consolidated tax office here, and through our my firm's contract with the county, we collect taxes for all the school districts, all the other taxing entities in Upshur County through Mr. Smith's office. But the numbers here, that you know, if we talked about the total dollars collected through your county tax office, we'd be talking about 20 or 30 million or more, probably 40 or 50 million dollars. But as far as total collections for the county, and I just thought I'd throw this out here to start out this, the total collections thus far this year, or excuse me, in the past fiscal year of county taxes, the county tax rates, was $8.75 million. Now the vast majority of those taxes are current collections, or taxes that are paid in a current basis. And for those collections, Mr. Smith and his office are totally responsible for those. But in any tax office, you have delinquent taxes. And that's why the county has hired our law firm, Linebarger Law Firm, and myself to collect those taxes. And I thought I'd just talk a little bit about how we go about collecting those taxes and give you some figures. First thing, again, on the county taxes collected in the past year, $620,000 in taxes, penalty, and interest that were delinquent were collected by our firm on behalf of Upshur County. Presently, there's about $1.5 million. When you closed your books, there's $1.5 million in delinquent taxes owed. Now, it's interesting, delinquent taxes. Delinquent taxes are just like any other kind of account receivable. Many of y'all own businesses or have owned businesses in your lifetime, and it's like so many other things. The longer they owe you the money, the less likely you're going to get paid. of that $1.5 million, 25% is 2008 taxes. Those are taxes that were turned over to us not even 6 months ago on July 1st to begin collecting those taxes. 75% of that $1.5 million are taxes that went delinquent in 2005 or after, or actually 2006 is when those were handed over to us. So 75% of your taxes have been delinquent or being collected by us for 3 years. Just a little over 3 years. We collect taxes back 20 years. So you can see that, you know, we have many years after that, that's not where the majority of the taxes are owed. What do we do to collect taxes on behalf of Upshur County? Talk about that. First and foremost thing we do when you turn over taxes to us every July is make a mass mailing to all of your delinquent taxpayers. The first letter that we send out is fairly mild. It's like, have you overlooked the taxes? Do you have delinquent taxes? We go through, we generally make four mailings a year. And of course, these mailings, again, I want to point this out. I'm talking, since you're the commissioner's court and represent Upshur County, I'm kind of talking in Upshur County, but the letters we send out include everybody's taxes. If you live in Big Sandy Independent School District, it's going to have the taxes you owe to Big Sandy Independent School District, Upshur County, the fire district, all that on that one bill. But we send out four mailings a year to the delinquent taxpayers. First one's kind of mild. By the time we get to the fourth one will go out in February or March of this of 2010. It's pretty strong. It's like your house could be sold, or your the tax liens will be foreclosed on your property. We also make phone calls to local people where we can get the phone calls if they do not respond to letters. We try to avoid clogging up the courts where we can, but unfortunately, you can't always do that. I also bring up a point here, is that at any stage of this process, and I've mentioned this before to y'all, but I think it bears repeating again, that at any stage of this process, people can contact Mr. Smith's office, and he will work with them, or his staff will work with him, to make some type of payment arrangements. Because frequently, we're all this way, especially with the economy the way it is right now. You get $1,000, $2,000 behind on your taxes, it's very difficult for many people to write that, you know, $1,000, $2,000 check. They don't have to. They can work out a payment arrangement with the tax office to where they make those payments on a monthly basis to pay off those taxes. And that's available before we, you know, from when we get letters sent to when we file a lawsuit. We even deal with people after we've taken a judgment foreclosing the tax liens on their property. We don't like to sell people's property. I'll talk about sales in a second, but you know, sometimes it's necessary. But if people work with us, most of the time they can preserve their property. If they don't respond to these letters or other types of communications, then it is. That's why you hire a law firm. It's necessary to file a lawsuit. In the past year, we filed 100, and so far this year, I should say, there may be some more filed here in December, but we filed 156 lawsuits. And many of these lawsuits, I don't have the exact number, but many of these lawsuits involve multiple properties because, you know, people that own more than one piece of property, if they're not paying the taxes on one, they're probably not paying the taxes on the other one. So it's probably, I just guess, the way those normally work, you'd probably be talking about 200 different pieces of property that those lawsuits would involve. Again, we work with these people, work with their lien holders to try to get these taxes paid, but if they don't pay, we take judgment. And after judgment, again, we try to give them another opportunity to pay, contact and pay. If they don't pay at that point, then we sell the property. And so far this year, we've posted 56 different pieces of property for sale for unpaid property taxes. Again, back to the sales. It's not something I like to do, but it's something that you have to do to have a effective and respected collection program. And we're not shy about doing it. We'll work with people every way we can, but if people won't work with us or we can't find anybody, that happens a lot of times. Some of the property that is your largest, longest term delinquent taxes here is Airship property, where the people are gone. You can't find anybody that owns that property. They've left the county in many cases many years ago. They died without heirs or heirs that we can find. And we deal with that property all the time. In that case, the only way to get that property back on the tax rolls is to sell the property. We continue to work diligently with Mr. Smith's office. It's an honor and pleasure to serve y'all. That's about all I have this morning. Be happy to answer any questions any of y'all have about any aspect of our program.
Mr. Bolster, you said, Williams, Billy Water, Big Sandy Papers, you said that 20% of the $1.5 million that is owed is 2008.
About 25%.
About 25%?
Yes, sir.
And you said that 75% of the taxes have been delinquent just a little over 3 years. Is that correct?
That was 75% of that $1.5 million would be taxes that our 2005 tax year, or late 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008.
Okay, so 75% of them have been owed for the last 3 years.
Right.
Okay.
We appreciate it, John.
You bet.
Thank you for coming up.
You bet.
Item four is to discuss and take action to approve the appointment of Danette Blackstone to the Upshur County Child Welfare Board. Ms. Blackstone was recommended by Kyra Wallace.
Is she taking the place of somebody or filling a position that's become available?
She's probably taking somebody's place. All I received from Kyra was just those two little pieces of paper that we got.
Is that what? Has Emma Smith been on that?
I don't think so.
No.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to appoint Danette Blackstone. Those in favor?
Aye.
She'll be appointed. Item five is to discuss and take action to approve the interlocal agreement with the City of Gilmer concerning the drug task force. I haven't seen a copy of it, so.
Well, the city's got some concerns about it, so we won't be able to get it. Their attorney wrote it.
Okay. Thank you. Item 5 won't require any action. Item 6 is to discuss and take action to approve a resolution to accept the 2009 Homeland Security Grant funding. Marshall Stillman has been working on the 2009 funding, and this resolution is the beginning of that process. It's the beginning resolution that always says the county will use any funds they receive for any grant under the authority of the grant and not misuse it.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those resolutions are approved. Item 7 is to discuss and take action to approve resolution designating individuals as authorized signatories for the county's CDBG Disaster Recovery Non-Entitlement Grant Program contract. This is some grant projects that Mary Kay Thomas is working on. These have to do with the entities within the county that have applied for the generators.
And these are going to be your signature or the county judges, the treasurers, and the auditors?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Now, okay, that's another separate agenda item.
You said a grant for generators, name, or anything else other than that?
No. This money was channeled through the East Texas Council of Governments is additional funding after.
So it comes from that company?
Yes. Is it your motion?
I think.
Your motion?
Yes.
Whose second was it?
I did.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Campbell to make these designations for this grant, for this funding. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 8 is to discuss and take action to appoint Mary Kay Thomas, the Labor Standards Officer for the county's CDBG Disaster Recovery Non-Entitlement Grant Program contract.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. That's part of the same round of funding. Item 9 is to discuss and take action on adopting resolutions setting out casting of Upshur County's votes or nominees to the Upshur County Appraisal District's Board of Directors. We have 1,244 votes on the ballot, and we have three people that we nominated to the board. We can do it however y'all want to do it. If we divide those up evenly between our three candidates, we need to give 415 to two of them and 414 to a third one. But our candidates were Conrad Coppedge, Daryl McKnight, and Deborah Bankston.
That's not
McKnight's first name. Mr. McKnight's first name, would you spell it for us, please? Daryl. Would you spell Daryl McKnight's first name?
D A R R E L L.
Thank you, sir.
We need about.
But we can divide them up evenly.
If we put the three of them on there together, we still have the total of 1,244 votes, right?
Right, yeah, and
yes.
That's not going to, if we split our votes three ways, it's not going to assure that we have two people on there. See, we've got six places to vote for. There's going to be five people elected, and it's going to take 700 votes to elect somebody.
It would take 834.
Well, I'll move Conrad Coppedge, number one.
I'll move on Ms. Bankston. She's shown a strong desire and want to serve, and I don't think she's served on that board or served in that capacity in the past or whatever. And I think some new blood might be an advantage to the county out there. And then we've got representation out there of a man and a woman also. That would be a plus.
I certainly think that Mr. McKnight's done a good job for us, and so I'm in favor of putting him back on there. We've got 1244, 622.
It'd be 622. Will that put two?
That's.
It won't guarantee.
It's not going to guarantee it.
834 votes is the only way to guarantee that.
Well, that's right now.
Any individual person.
I nominated Conrad first to.
But, I mean, if there's not, and not knowing how the votes are falling out, I mean, that's why I was just recommending that we divide the votes.
Equally.
We could give Mr. Coppedge 415 and Ms. Bankston 415 and Mr. McKnight 414.
Fifteen.
And that's because Pittsburgh ISD actually has 18 votes. That one, some people might miss that, but there are a few Pittsburgh students.
Is Claywater the other one that has a vote? Claywater ISD.
East Mountain City. Some people sometimes miss that. East Mountain has 5 votes.
I think they were included in 13 one night. I was trying to figure
out of Pittsburgh
what that 15 might be.
Does
Claywater School have a vote on this?
Yes. Okay. Every governmental entity that collects taxes in Upshur County.
Okay. Thank you.
He's there. Thank you.
I don't know. It takes. How you think it takes? He's gonna be 100 children. Is.
Well, if you don't, that's to guarantee a spot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the top, it's the people that, it's the 5 candidates that receive the most votes. That's how it works.
What does he expect? We can expect this to all go here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we nominate all 3 of ours, there's not a guarantee that all 3 will.
There's not a guarantee that any of them will
make it. But there's a good chance that
there's not a guarantee that any of them will.
At least 2 of them will.
It's a good chance that.
Yeah, well, 2 of them will. That's right. Because there's
2 of them.
More,
will.
That's right. There's 2 out of 3 will for sure. It's an unusual year where we only have 6.
Right.
Because generally we have a lot more nominations than that.
You said it took 834 to guarantee, and you got a total of 1,244 votes.
Yes.
Then how can you guarantee that you're electing 2?
Because we've only got
5 positions open, and there's 6 nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. We split them evenly.
Well, are we going to nominate three or two?
Let's divide our votes up by three.
You want the motion made per vote per individual then?
It needs to be two of our people need 415 and one needs 414.
All right, I'll make a motion that we nominate Mr. Coppedge with a total of 415, Ms. Bankson with 415, and Mr. McKnight with 414.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson. Those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
The top two are guaranteed election. Is that new?
Not necessarily.
No.
Okay. Mr. McKnight is an incumbent.
The votes have to be counted by the appraisal district. Mm-hmm.
Move to the ground.
Mr. Gadarzi, did you want to speak to us?
Can I have a moment, Judge?
Sure.
Okay. Again, first of all, I appreciate the court allowing this opportunity to come here. And I think it's very appropriate coming here today. We had an opportunity to hear from the county's lawyer who tells us that the county had $1.5 million in delinquent taxes. The reason that's important is I'm here today to talk to you about the district clerk's office. You ask why. We have a district clerk who closes at 4:30 Monday through Friday. If you will contact the district clerk's office of contiguous counties, you will find that every district clerk's office that's contiguous to us works from 8 to 5 o'clock. If you do the math, and I'm sure y'all do because you set the budget, you will find that costs this county approximately over $10,000 a year. Now, why is that important? It's important, one, because I'm an attorney. Two, and most important, because I am a taxpayer in this county. It's important because there are many legal documents that are filed in our district clerk's office that you have the legal right to file them up till 5 o'clock. Now, when you have a district clerk's office that closes at 4:30, there's certain rights that certain members of this community and outside members of this community are not given. Now, I believe the district clerk has the right to set her hour. But it is this court's power to set her budget. It is this court's power when that budget was written, I'm assuming, just like when she ran for office, when many people voted for her, you assumed she was gonna work from 8 to 5 o'clock. And when you set your budget, you assumed that she was gonna work from 8 to 5 o'clock. Now, that bill of goods was not what was sold to us. We were sold the 8 to 5, we have got the 8 to 4:30. That's something I think you need to look into. I think it's important. When I receive phone calls from outside of this county lawyer saying, why is your district clerk's office closed? Why is it different from any other county? We have a county that should want to maintain and does maintain a very professional setting throughout Northeast Texas. That should be tantamount to every member of this court. It should be tantamount to every taxpayer in this community. Again, I didn't know if the court knew about it. I've had conversations with different members who do what I do, and I think the consensus is pretty consistent with what I've said, especially lawyers like my office who file a great deal of civil actions. And I come here, I don't do any court-appointed work. This court doesn't pay my office anything, hadn't in many years. So, I mean, I am just here as a taxpayer and as a member of the bar saying, it's something I feel you need to look into, especially at your next opportunity to do the budget. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Gadarzi.
Can I ask Mr. Gadarzi a question?
You can.
Sure.
How much was it that closing at 4:30 was costing the taxpayers?
$12,000. Yeah, let me see. I think approximately a little over $10,000. And again, that's from a calculation of losing a half an hour a day per employee, 5 days a week, for all the business time. Again, if we look at it, I don't know of any businesses in this community who don't work 8 to 5. And we work for ourselves. We weren't elected. And I know this
this court, I know the commissioners, I know other agencies within this county, they work 8 to 5, and that's what they sold to the voters when people voted for them. So it's an important thing that if we're going to run for office, we need to do exactly what we tell the voters we're going to do.
Judge, may I make a comment on this? My office closes at 4:30. In the past, I did not realize how much. Of course, we don't do much business with you, okay? But I did not realize how much it was costing the taxpayers. But effective tomorrow, my office will be open from 8 to 5.
No other business on the agenda this morning. Thank you, Mr. Gadarzi.
If I might, I applaud you for standing up and doing what you've done, because I have seen the same thing you've seen. We've got elected officials that are in office are shutting their offices early, and I agree with you, 8 to 5 is what they ran on, just like their salaries are what they ran on. And I was up here Wednesday of last week when the court had voted Thursday and decided to have the time off. I was up here Wednesday afternoon, and I can't count on both fingers or both hands and both feet the number of people that walked in the courthouse to conduct business because they knew the courthouse would be closed on Thursday and Friday, only to find that they had made a wasted trip up here, and some of them from several counties away. So I appreciate you addressing one office, but it's a concern of all offices.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gadarzi.
Aye. Is there a motion?
There's a motion in the second.
Those in favor? We're adjourned.